So all of a sudden, the little boy comes out from the curtains, and the poor Nigalok said, "Oh no! What are you doing here?" The little boy says, "I was curious to see you go up in the sky. I had to find out how you do it. And I saw you. I didn't see you go up in the sky. Are you lying to me?" The Nigalok said, "No, I'm not lying to you. I went higher than the sky. And now you know my secret, I might as well tell you that I am a secret Jew. I'm only pretending I'm a Galach because in this country, the king and the government are very mean to Jews. And if they catch a Jew doing what a Jew is supposed to do, they kill him. So many of us Jews, we hide. And we're on the outside, we pretend we're Goyim and even Galachim. But we don't believe in it. It's all a bunch of baloney mices. We only believe in Hashem and Yiddishkeit. And when nobody's looking, we do all the things that Jews have to do, like davening and learning. And if your father finds out that I'm not really a Galach, that I'm really a Jew, I will be killed. If you tell your father what you saw, your father will have me killed. So, that's what I'm going to say now. That's what I have to tell you, because you saw it. If you tell your father what you saw, he'll know I'm a Jew. But when I say that I went up in the sky, it's right. When a Jew davens, his neshama goes up to Hashem. That's higher than the sky. When a Jew learns Torah, his neshama goes up higher than the whole world. So that was not a lie when I say that I have to be alone because I'm going up in the sky. And I'm doing things up in the sky. It's only a way of talking, because if I'm going to say my neshama goes up into the Himmel, your father wouldn't understand. And the little boy says, "I promise that I'm not going to tell my father. But for the first time in my life, I'm curious to find out those words and what you were doing. So please, teach me not about the church, because I can't stand it. It's so boring. Teach me about the books that you just had. And I promise I will not tell my father anything." And so the Galach said, "Well, okay, come over here. Sit down." He took out a book. This is a siddur. And in the beginning is the aleph base. These are the letters that I was learning. Here's Kamatz Aleph O. And the boy said, "Kamatz Aleph O." Here's a Kamatz Beis Ba. And the boy said, "Kamatz Beis Ba." And the boy said, "You know, for the first time, I feel good learning something. For the first time, I find this is interesting. I like learning the Aleph Beis. Let's learn more." Okay, Kamatz Gimel Ga. Oh, Kamatz Gimel Ga. Kamatz Dalet Da. Ooh, this is fun. I like this. And the boy started learning the Aleph Beis. And then it came the end of the day, and the Galach said, "You have to go back to your daddy now. Please try to keep this a secret, or else I will be dead." "Oh, don't worry, but tomorrow we have to go on. I love learning this. This is the best time I ever had learning. This is the first day of school that I found. It was interesting, and I like it." And the little boy came home skipping and dancing, so happy, jumping up and down. And the father said, "My little son, this is the first time you're coming back from school. You're happy. Every other time you complain how boring it was. Did you learn today something good about the Getchkes?" "Well, Daddy, we had a very good day, very interesting. It was so interesting. I like the Galach. Tomorrow, I can hardly wait to go back." The next day he went back and he starts learning Moedeani Lefanecha. "Oh, this is wonderful." And the next day he starts learning Brachas, Baruchat Hashem. Now, the Galach, who was really a Yid, didn't want to teach this little goy the Torah because you're not allowed. Oh, now, we know that, but the Jew didn't know that. This is really, of course, this little boy, remember, is the Yiddish Neshama that had Mesiras Nefesh to go down and save the Jewish people. It was really a Yiddish and a Shema. And that's why he was so excited learning Torah, because he felt like he was comfortable and close to Hashem. The neshama feels good when it's close to Hashem. And the boy learned how to read. The Galach had no choice. He had to teach this boy. And he learned how to daven. And he started learning Chumash. And he started learning Mishnayos. And the Galach would teach him stories about Avram Avinu, and about Noach, and about Yitzchak and Yaakov, and about Moshe Rabbeinu, and about Parsha. And all of these things, Kenalach, that we learn. And this little boy was so excited every day. And the parents and his wife thought that they were just learning church things. One day, the little boy says to his teacher, "I want to become a Jew, just like you. I don't want to be in this family eating treifa food and not keeping Shabbos. I want to wear a yarmulke. I want to wear tzitzis. I want to put on tefillin. I want to go to yeshiva. I want to learn the whole day Torah. I don't want to be in this castle anymore with goyish parents and goyish friends, with all the way they speak and the way they behave. I want Yiddish friends." And the Galach said, "Oh no, I thought this would happen. Don't you understand? If you do that, your father will kill you. The worst thing by your father would be that you become a Jew. No, you can't." But every day the boy would beg him, "Please, teach me to be a Jew. I want to become a Yid. I'll even run away from home." And the Galach said like this, "Look, maybe there's a way you can do this that will not upset your father and your mother, and will also be a way that you can become a Jew. Tell your father, after all you're a big boy now, that you would like to go away for a month on a trip by yourself. You want to go and see the country and cities, and tell your father that you're big enough to take care of yourself, and go away for a month. Now, I'll arrange that you should be in a house with a Yiddish family, and you should learn Torah in their house. And when you come back, you'll tell your father that you were just traveling around, but really you were learning in that house. And then after a while, you want to go away on another trip for 2 months. And because your father let you go away for 1 month, he didn't miss you so much, you'll go away for 2 months, and you go to yeshiva and learn. And then when you're ready, you'll become a Yid. Then you go away for a long time, and you won't come home. And that way, your father will be able to take it. You'll tell him that you're going away to school. You're going away to a goyish school. And he won't know what's happening for a long time." And that's what they did. The boy went away for a month. He lived with a Jewish family. Then he went to yeshiva for 2 months. When he was ready, he became a Yid. He went to the mikveh, he had a bris milah, and he became a real Jew. And then, finally, he went far, far away. He lived in a city, and he learned Torah and yeshiva. He never went back home again. He used to write his father letters, pretending that he was in a goyish school. And his father never even found out that he became a Jew. He just told his father that he can't come home. He even got married. And he even had a family. Until one day, when he was living in that city, there was a bunch of wild goyim. And they came into the town, robbing and killing people. And they found this Jew in the street. He was coming back from shul. And the wild goyim killed him. This was the boy who was a goy and then became a Yid. He saved the town, and then he was killed. And his neshama went up into Shemayim to the Beis Din Shalmaila, and they judged him. And the Malachim called out, "Whoever saw this neshama do good things, come and tell. Thousands of malachim came, and they said he should get the highest place in Gan Eden. He had Mesiras Nefesh to come down to save the Jewish people of the whole place, to be born as a goy. And he lived in the Paritz's house, and he had to learn all those goyish things. And finally, later on, he gave up the whole life in the castle to become a Yid. And he was even killed on Mesiras Nefesh because he was a Jew. He should get the highest place in Gan Eden. And all the malachim said, yes. And then Hashem said, any malach who saw him do something wrong, that he should not go to Gan Eden, should come up and say. One malach came, and he said, this neshama is not allowed to go into Gan Eden, because there was one thing that he did wrong. He nursed from a not-Jewish mother. He drank goyish milk. It was not Chalav Yisrael. The mouth that drinks the milk that's not Chalav Yisrael should not be allowed in the highest place in Gan Eden. He's got to fix that first. And Hashem said, the judgment is that this neshama will be able to get the highest place in Gan Eden, but it has to fix that one thing that it has wrong, that it nursed from a goyish mother. It will go back into the world only to fix that one thing. And after that is fixed, it will get the highest place with the biggest tzaddikim, with Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. The neshama came down into the world, and it was born to a fine Jewish woman. She nursed the baby. The baby nursed from a Jewish woman. And the Baal Shem Tov is telling the woman, this is your baby. You got that neshama that had to be fixed only for 2 years. It nursed from you, and when it was done nursing, you fixed the neshama that it should get the highest place in Gan Eden with all the tzaddikim, and then it already finished what its life was all about, and that's why it died. And now the woman did feel better that it wasn't such a terrible thing. She saw that she helped that baby to get the highest place in Gan Eden. One time, there was a man. It was time to go to work. In the morning, he took his axe, which is a stick with these big metal things on the end, and he put it over his shoulder, and he starts to climb up the big mountain, to go to the top of the mountain where he works. And he's climbing up the big mountain, and as he's climbing, he feels the sun shining so strong and so hot. And finally, he gets up to the top of the mountain, and he starts to take his axe and smash it on the mountain. Bang, bang, bang. And he's cutting up the rocks. He's chopping up the rocks because they're going to build buildings out of the rocks that he chops up from the mountain. That's his job. To chop up the mountain into rocks, and they schlep down the rocks, and builders come, and they buy the rocks, and they build buildings. You know, some buildings are made out of rocks, and some are made out of bricks, and some are made out of wood. So that's his job. And he starts to complain, oy vey, what kind of a job do I have? What kind of a life do I have? I have to work so hard in the hot sun. I would much rather do something else. A better job. There must be a better job than just breaking up a mountain and getting rocks and working in the hot sun. All of a sudden, the man on the mountain heard trumpets. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he heard voices, the king is coming, the king is coming, with all of his officers and all of his men. And the man looked down the mountain and he saw that the king is coming on the road by the mountain. The king is going somewhere. And he's riding in his wagon and his beautiful robes and his crown. And he's got officers all around him and generals. And he's got people coming out to see him and throw flowers at him. And kids run to see, hey, there's the king, kid. Look at the king right there. And the man on the mountain said, you know, this is a very good thing to be. This is the best thing to be. A king, you're powerful, you have officers. Everybody makes a big deal out of you. They give you covet. If I had a wish, I wish that I would be the king. Then I would be happy. All of a sudden, psh, he felt a very strange feeling. And all of a sudden, he looks around and he's riding on a wagon. The man who was on the mountain is riding on a wagon. He sees all around him officers. People are throwing flowers at him. He looks on his head. He feels on his head. He's wearing a crown. He's wearing the beautiful king's robes. Hey, look, I'm the king. My wish came true. I became the king. Hey, look, just like I said before, I became the king. Oh, now I'll be happy for the rest of my life. I'm the king. I ride in a wagon. Officers blow trumpets for me. I have generals and people come out to see me and they give me covet and I'll be happy. I'm the king. And for about 5 minutes, he was so happy he was the king. All of a sudden, he felt so schwitzy and hot because the robes of the king are very thick and very hot and the crown is very heavy on his head. He says, "Ooh, I'm very uncomfortable. I'd like to take all these clothes off and just wear something simple like before. It's too hot in the hot sun." And he starts to take off his crown. It was so heavy on his head, he felt like putting his head down. And his officer said, "King, you mustn't take off your crown in a parade. It wouldn't look right if the king took off his crown in a parade." So he left on his crown and he starts taking off his big coat. And another officer says, "King, you can't take off your coat. You're in a parade. You're in front of people. You have to look like the king in his royal robes." And he was so schwitzy and uncomfortable. And he looks up at the sun. The sun is beating down on the whole world. Everybody is schwitzing. And he says, "It's no fun to be the king. I don't want to be the king anymore. I wish I was something else. I wish I was something free that I didn't have to wear all these clothes and schwitz and be with a crown on his head. I don't like to be the king anymore. You know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be something even more powerful than a king and free. Like the sun. That's a machaya. The sun is shining on the whole world. He's a really big boss. That's a really good king. And he doesn't have to wear a crown. And he doesn't have to wear robes. If I had a wish, I would be the sun." All of a sudden, psh, he feels a funny feeling and he looks around and he sees it's very bright. All over his light, it's shining. And all of a sudden he sees that he's shining up in the whole sky. "Hey, I'm the sun. Look at me. I'm the sun. I'm shining in the whole world. I don't have to wear no robes and no crown. My wish came true. What a machaya. Oh, I'm so glad I'm the sun. Now I'll be happy the rest of my life. I'm the sun." And he's shining and he's making the whole world full of light and he's seeing people schwitz in the whole world because the sun is shining over there. And he's making plants grow. And he says, "This is a good life. This is the best." And all of a sudden he's shining on a park. And he's shining on the people. And all of a sudden, a cloud comes over the park and blocks the sun. And it's very shady under the cloud. And the sun says to the cloud, "Hey, move, move. I want to go into that park. I got there first. I'm shining and making people have light to read and schwitz. And I want to be shining and warming up the whole park. And now you came and you made a cloud over there, you're blocking me. Get out of my way. Don't you know who I am? I'm the sun." And the cloud says, "You're the sun, but I'm the cloud. My job is to make shade. Just like your job is to make sunlight, my job is to make shade, and I'm here now, so I can block you. And the son got very upset that somebody's blocking him. Somebody is more powerful than him. Hey, wait a minute. I thought I was the most powerful big boss in the whole world. And now this cloud is doing with my light what he wants. It's blocking me. Ah, it's no fun to be a sun anymore because there's somebody better than me. A cloud is better than the sun. You know what? If I had a wish, I would be a cloud. All of a sudden, he feels a funny feeling. And he feels cool and soft. And he looks around. And he's nice and cool and soft. Hey, it's all white in here. I'm a cloud. Oh, this is nice. Floating around. Making shade in the whole park over there. Yeah, the sun was too hot. Now people are very comfortable. They have this nice cloud over them. And it's nice and shady. It's not too bright. This is a life. Ah, machaya. Making people comfortable instead of making people schwitz and hot. Ooh, there's a big group of people over there. Let me float right over there and make shady by those people. All of a sudden, he feels something. Hey, hey, I want to go over that way. And all of a sudden he starts to push over a different way. Hey, I'm going over that way. Oh, he starts to push over. I don't want to go over there. I want to go over there. Who's pushing me around? He looks around and there's a wind. It's pushing the cloud in the wrong way. Hey, hey, leave me alone. And the wind says to the cloud, what do you mean leave you alone? You're a cloud. I'm a wind. I push around clouds, don't you know? Don't you know what wind does? Wind pushes around clouds. You never had a wind before. The wind pushes the clouds. That's the way Hashem made it. So you have to listen to me because I'm a wind and you're a cloud. Yeah, but I want to go over there. He says, yeah, but I want you over here. So I'm putting you over here. That's where you go. Okay. See you later. And the cloud now gets upset. Hey. It's no good to be a cloud anymore because I get pushed around by the wind. I'd rather be a wind than a cloud. Psh! What happened? He became a wind. Ah, Machaya, this is a Machaya. And he starts to push around every cloud that he can find in the sky. He finds a cloud, whoosh, 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 pushes him, blows him all over the place. And then he goes into the park and he blows off a few hats and he blows a few blankets here and there and blows things, papers, and blows all kinds of things around. This is fun. This is the best life. And he is blowing all over the place. He's going through the trees. Oh, this tickles! And through the grass and blowing all over the place. And he's blowing everything he can get his wind on. Leaves, kites. That was fun, the kites. And all of a sudden he comes, bah! Oh, my head! Oy vey, I banged against something hard, I can't blow it. And he sees a big mountain. Ugh! He tries to blow against the mountain. Ooh! Ow! Ouch! Oy, my head! I blew against the mountain, it's so hard, I can't even blow it. And he tries to blow the mountain over and over again. It doesn't move. Hey, I can't get past this big mountain. He's so strong. Ooh, this is a strong thing. Much stronger than a wind. Ah, if a wind can blow a mountain, it's not worthwhile to be a wind. I'd rather be a mountain. Psh! All of a sudden, oh, this is good. I'm a mountain. Oh, I'm strong. No wind can blow me away or even move me. This is the strongest thing. I feel so strong. This is good. I want to be a mountain the rest of my life. Then for sure I'm going to be the happiest, happiest thing in the world. All of a sudden, the mountain feels this little thing climbing up on its head. What's that? He sees this little man going up on his head, and the man lifts up this stick with these pieces of metal on it, an axe, and he starts to chop. Boom! Ah! Oh! Boom! Ah! Ah! Boom! Oi! My head! Somebody's hacking up my head! Somebody's breaking up the mountain over here! What's going on? This little man up there with an axe, he's hacking up my head, breaking up the mountain. It must be that that man is more powerful than a mountain. He's breaking up a mountain with that little stick with metal. Oh, it's no good to be a mountain anymore, because a little man climbs up on a mountain and breaks it to pieces. If I had a wish, I'd be that little man. All of a sudden, he looks around, and who was it? It was him. In the beginning of the story, he was that man who was working on the mountain, and now he became exactly himself again, in exactly the same place, exactly the same thing, doing exactly the same thing. And he says, oh, now I understand. The best thing is to be happy with what I have and who I am, and not to look for something else, and always say something else is better. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Is who Ashir, who's a rich person? Hasameach b'chelkoi. You're happy with whatever you have. But there's always two ways to look at it. You could look at the bad things and